The Lord has given us a few things to share with us this morning, and we sure want the Lord to minister to our hearts, cause us all to take courage, and give ourselves to the Lord without reserve. And I believe that's where the Lord can work in our lives and bless us. Our part is to give ourselves to the Lord, and His part is to give us what we need. I want to start in Hebrews 11 and 32. I wrote on the board the feeble. In Hebrews 11 and 32, it says, "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens." You know, it gives us quite a list in Hebrews, but we just have a few here in these verses here we just read. And I want us to think a little bit about what it says there in the 34th verse. It says these people quenched the violence of fire. It says they escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong. And that's what I want us to think a little bit about this morning. These people, by God's help, were made strong in weakness. You know, when you look at the list of names there, some of those names kind of stand out, don't they, in our minds? But I want to look for just a minute and think about who some of these men were. Who was Gideon? Do we remember Gideon? Wasn't he the one that the Lord called and told him he wanted to go down and fight with the, who was it came up against Gideon? The Midianites. And the Lord called Gideon. And Gideon, and he told him, he said he wanted him to go first and destroy the altar of Baal and take his father's ox and go up there and pull it down and cut it up and build an altar to the Lord and offer a sacrifice there. And the Lord told Gideon, gave him some instructions. Well, Gideon did it. Certainly that would cost him his life. But Gideon just obeyed the Lord. Gideon was not this man that is some superhero. Gideon was a man that when the Lord asked him, "Now I want you to go out and I want you to go against the Midianites and fight this battle." Well, you know, he called together all the Israelites, and here they come, and the Lord said, "It's too many. If I give them over," what was the word he said? They'll vaunt themselves. I believe they'll vaunt themselves that we won this battle. And you know, the Lord didn't want that. He wanted there to be a record for us that God fought for this people, and He fought for this man. And so here they come down, and the Lord said, and so Gideon told them, "Everyone that's fearful, you go home." And half of them went home. I believe it was half. And then the Lord said, "Now you still got too many." And so he told him, "You go down and you separate them and you watch them drink at the river." And they went down, and there was 300 that lapped water out of their hands. Or however it was, instead of bowing down, he said with these 300 that he would win that battle. But you know, Gideon, he saw what God wanted to do. God told him. But Gideon was a very fearful man about that. And he saw the strength of the battle. He saw the strength of the opposition, the enemy. And it just looked like too much. And he said, "Lord." And he put a fleece out, didn't he? And he said, "If the fleece is wet," I believe he said first, "if the fleece is wet and the ground all around it is dry, I'll know that you're with me." Well, he was still fearful, wasn't he? And then he said, "Well, let the ground be wet and the fleece be dry." And the Lord did that too. But you know, God still knew Gideon was fearful. And so he said, I want you to go down. You go down, Gideon, and you listen at their tents. And Gideon went down, and he listened at the tents of the enemy, and he snuck up there, and he listened in, and he heard one telling a little story. And I believe a loaf came down in that story, in his dream, and smote the tents of the Midianites, and they were scattered. And one said, this is no more than the hand of Gideon, it doesn't say. I'm sorry, I should have read the story completely. But you know, who was Gideon? Gideon was a man that God used. But he was just a man. And the Bible says here that these men, out of weakness, were made strong. Saints, the Lord is not looking for our strength. He never did look for man's strength. He's looking for a man or a woman or a child that will put themselves in God's hand and obey Him. The first thing God called Gideon to do was something very, very dangerous. He knew when he told Gideon what the consequences would be. The people were going to want to kill him. And that's just what they wanted to do. But Gideon obeyed the Lord. He went down and he did just what he said. He tore down that idol worship of Baal. He tore down that place. He cut down that grove. And he burned those trees, didn't he? Gideon did that. And God began to work with him. You know, this morning, what God is wanting from us is a heart that is obedient to Him. And then He'll do the rest. He'll call us. He'll send us. He'll let us know His will when He wants us to move. He'll work with us, won't He? And out of weakness will be the Lord's power shown. Who was Samson? Was Samson some great somebody? This is an unbelievable man. Samson was a man with weaknesses. Samson was a man with needs. But somehow God used him for a time until he went down and got in trouble in his soul real bad. And you know, even at the end of his life, he called upon the Lord in his weakness and said, Lord, one more time. And you know, God worked for him, didn't he? You know, this morning, I just want to bring us this message. The Lord wants, out of our weakness, to show His strength. He's not asking for us to bring Him strength. He's asking for us to bring Him our life. Bring Him our will. Bring Him our love. Bow at His altar. Bow before the Lord and give Him our hearts. And you know what He'll do? He'll show Himself strong in behalf of those that put their trust in Him. I believe that this morning. He's not looking for our strength. If we feel, I'm strong, I've got it under control, I fear for that. But when we know our weakness, and when we know we need the Lord's help, I think Samson knew he needed God's help. He called on the Lord. He said, Lord, one more time. Samson knew that it was God that moved upon him. You know, we need the Lord to help us through our life, don't we? We're feeble folk this morning. We're just people. Today we're strong. Tomorrow we have no strength at all. I found in my life, one day you can be working hard and strong. And at the end of that day, you can be without strength. Unable to hardly do anything in the same day. It can happen that way and our strength can go from us. But God is looking for somebody's to give themselves to Him, their weaknesses, their humanity, their needs. He wants us to come to Him as we are. Lord, here I am. Can you work with this? Can you work in me? Can you change me? Out of my weakness, can you make strength? Out of my needs, can you bring power? Out of my failure, can you make a strong vessel? He can't He? And that's what He wants us to bring Him. Who we are, where we are. The Lord wants us to come to Him and find His strength. But when we in our own self try to climb up, we try to make it happen again. I'm going to make... You know, in our own strength, we will never make it. Who were these men? They were men like you and me. They were, who was Jephthah? And who was Barak? Wasn't Barak the one that was supposed to go down and fight a battle? And he kept telling Deborah, you come with me, you go. And she said, Barak, if I go, the honor is going to go to a woman. That's what he said. That's what she told him in the battle. He said, come on. he felt that weak. But you know, God fought that battle for them, didn't they? Out of his weakness, there was strength. You know, this morning, we're weak, aren't we? Without the Lord, we're real weak. We need the strength of the Lord. Hopefully, we all recognize we're weak. But in the Lord is everlasting strength. In the Lord is the things that we need to fight our battles and win. Solid, decisive victories. The Lord wants us to have them. But it comes through Him and not through ourselves. Who was Samuel? Who was David? I think David was that little boy, that young man that when they were looking for the king and Samuel went to anoint the king from the family of Jesse, and Jesse didn't even call him. Here's my boys. Samuel goes through all of them. Do you have another one? Oh, yeah, there's this young fella. Okay, I'll call him too. That was David, the king. That was the one the Lord wanted to work through, not those strong. Surely this is the one, this first one. Surely he's the one. The Lord's looking for somebody who had a heart like David. All that time, David, he was out there on the hillsides doing his job well. He was faithful to God. Young folks, the Lord's looking for faithfulness. He's looking for somebody he can work through. He wants to give his power to us. If we feel weak this morning, we're in a good place to get strength from the Lord because we can depend on him. We can come before him. Who was Samuel? Wasn't he that little boy that was given to the work of God? His mother promised him to give him to the work. And there he was. And the Lord spoke to him. He didn't even know it was God. That's who this was. It's a man that began to walk with God. He began to hear the voice of the Lord. His life was about the things of God, business of God. It was given to the work of God. That's who Samuel was. You know who we are? Who are we? Who are we? What are we given to? What's our life given to? Can the Lord give strength in our weakness? We're weak. Whether we know it or not, we're weak. Can the Lord give strength in our weakness? Can He do that? He wants to. All He's looking for is vessels that say, Lord, I really want You to have Your way in everything in my life. I want to give myself to You this morning. God has, I believe, a special blessing for weakness. It's His grace and power. I don't suggest that we try to be weak. I don't suggest that anyone fall. But I will tell you what, if we do fall, the Lord wants us to bring it to the Lord and tell Him, Lord, I need Your help. I need You real bad. You know, we're in a good situation there for God to help us. We're humble before the Lord. We're honest before Him. Lord, I need Your help this morning. In 2 Corinthians 12 and 7, I want to read a little bit about Paul. 2 Corinthians 12 and 7, and Paul said this. He said, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. Now, Paul had a lot of revelation from God, didn't he? God spoke to him personally. He taught him out there in the wilderness. God gave Paul special gifts that he used. And Paul said, lest I should be exalted. What's that mean? Lest you should be exalted. Paul, aren't you sanctified? You mean there's a danger of you being exalted? We're people, folks. We need the Lord's help. In Paul's humanity, you know what the Lord did for him? He gave him a thorn in the flesh. Something that pricked him. Something that kept him on his knees. Something that kept him seeing his need before God in all of that work God was doing in his life. Do we have some things in our life that drive us to our knees? We do, don't we? You know, I want to read what Paul says about this situation. He said, "There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." You mean God allowed this? You mean God gave this in his life? Sure did, didn't he? Aren't we glad Paul never fell to pride? Aren't we glad the Lord humbled him and kept him humble so we could have the writings that we have? And he says here, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice." Oh yeah, Paul wanted out of it just like we do. "I besought the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient." Paul, not going to take this away. I've got plenty of grace for this. He said, "My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness." What a concept for us to get a hold of. What a destroying of all our excuses. What do we have to hold up before the Lord? My weakness, Lord, I can't. I can't. The others can. I can't. We don't have that, do we? Because the Lord said, this is in red. The Lord said to Paul, "My strength is made perfect in weakness." Paul, I want you to have some weakness. I don't want you to have it in your own strength. I've been working through you. But I want to tell you something. I'm putting my own words in here, I know. But the Lord's getting a message to Paul. I want to tell you something, Paul. I want you to be a humble man. I want you to know my strength is made perfect in your weakness. I don't want you to be on display. I don't want your strength to be where it's coming from. I want to be exalted in this world, in this life. And I want to work through you. And I want you to be in a place that I can work through you. "Most gladly, therefore," listen to Paul's response. "Okay, Lord, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches. If this is what it takes to get me to heaven, I'm going to take pleasure in it. Lord, thank you for every one of them. Thank you for letting me have needs that I can call upon you, so that my life don't become one easy street where I lose track of you and where I lose my sight. I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches." Oh, nobody likes to be reproached, do they? "In necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." Paul found that in his needs, he sought the Lord in a deeper way than without those needs. And he said, "When I am weak, then am I strong." That's because Paul got a hold of that little thought that we had a while ago that said, the scripture said, in weakness we're made strong. He got a hold of that kind of concept. And he said, "When I am weak, then am I strong." Because I get a hold of God and he has strength and blessing for me. I want to read what the Lord told us over here in Matthew, the 5th chapter, the Sermon on the Mount. You know what the Lord, he could have said, "Blessed are those that are strong and powerful. Blessed are those that can do great things and can speak really well. Blessed are those that has lots of money." The Lord could have said that, but you know what he said? "And seeing the multitudes," 5:1 of Matthew, "he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Isn't that a concept? And here was the scribes and the Pharisees in their long robes and their phylacteries or their writings on their wrists and across their head and scriptures on them and so pious and holy looking. And Jesus just confounded them. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." You know, there's different thoughts about this mourning. But you know, when people mourn, that takes in, I believe, all of it probably, all the mourning. Mourning for our, if somebody is in sin, mourning because, Lord, I need you, I want you, I'm sorry. You know, mourning maybe because of bereavement. You know, the Lord says here some things. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek. Now, who is the meek? Is the meek the strong and the powerful of this world? Not usually. There may be some. David, I believe, was a fairly meek man. Moses was very meek. But you know, a meek person is a humble person. It's one that can be approached unrightly, unrighteously, and they still don't respond back and back. That's a meek person. Lord, help us to be these kind of people. Because he said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Those promises of the promised land, I believe this pretty much speaks to. They shall inherit the promises of God. The things he promised to his people in the promised land. And we call it the sanctified land today. The land of being able to inhabit those places God wants us to inhabit. Be able to overcome self in those areas. Be able to have the power to drive out those places in our life. He said the meek will do that. I will tell you what I believe about the meek. If we humble ourselves, if we allow people to speak to us, if we won't become offended, you know the Lord is going to bless that. He's going to teach us through that. If we will let people tell us things, they'll help us, and God will help us too. The meek shall inherit the promises of God. The Lord wants us to have a meek spirit, a teachable spirit, a humble spirit, not a proud, you cannot tell me anything. I'm here. Maybe you're there. You can't tell me anything. That's not meekness, is it? But the Lord wants us to be able to hear. He wants us to be able to hear. He wants us to be humble. And when we do that, God can work. He can speak to us. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You know, he didn't say, blessed are the ones that have applied themselves to learning and they're full of the knowledge of Scripture. You know, I believe we ought to apply ourselves and be full of the knowledge of Scripture. But what he said was, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. You know, peacemakers, a lot of times, they get hit from both sides. Because there's lots of times battles going on. Peacemakers try to bring peace. And if you don't join up with one side or the other, you're going to get hit from both sides. Blessed are the peacemakers. It says, they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets that which were before you. You know, that's a little place of weakness, isn't it? To be in those places, people persecuting, people saying all manner of evil against us falsely. Surely a Christian that does the right thing shouldn't have to endure that. Should they? But the Lord says, blessed. He says, rejoice and be exceeding glad. That's not easy to do, is it? It means we have to get a hold of God in our need. And the Lord wants to give us. He wants to give us things that we don't have. In our weakness, are we going to be able to rejoice when people say things falsely about us? They're hurting our reputation. I've worked all my life to be pure, clean, to do my business right. And you mean they're throwing that down falsely? For Christ's sake, Jesus said, rejoice and be exceeding glad. You know, that's really not usually the end of the story. the Lord vindicates his own. In Zechariah 12 and 8, listen to this. This is the text I had in mind at the beginning. In that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David. You know, David fought the battles of the Lord, didn't he? He fought Goliath. Who's a feeble? What's a feeble person? What's feeble mean? What's that mean? It means without strength. It means, actually, it means weak, utterly. There's a lot of words in there, cast down, feeble. There's a number of words in that definition. But you know, the feeble, it says, in that day, this is speaking of the gospel day. Why in that day? Because, folks, the grace of God is available to us. The grace of God is available to us, to the weak, to the feeble, to the needy, to those that see their needs, their humanity, what they need before God. The Lord is there for us, for the humble. And he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as God, as the angel of the Lord before them, standing in the presence of God. That's what the house of David, the true house of the true David. Who was that? The true one. That was Jesus. The house of God, the church of God, standing in the presence of God. That's what the Lord wants his people to do. And he says here, the feeble is going to be like that. The feeble, the needy. Folks, if we know our needs today, let's don't throw in the towel. Let's apply to the Lord. I don't believe Paul said, I'm weak, so I'm in good shape. Paul said, I'm weak, and Lord, I need your strength. Lord, you've got to give me power. You've got to give me strength I don't have. Lord, I'm going out to meet those people tomorrow. I already know they want to chop my head off. I already know what I'm going to face a little bit. But you know, the Lord, I believe, empowered him for those places. And what he's looking for in us is not our strength. I know he uses our strengths. He uses those things when they're fully submitted to him. And it's his power working through us. The Lord wants to do that this morning. Oh, I really believe the Lord is, he's looking. Folks, if we're feeble today, if we feel feeble, I want to tell you the promise is to you this morning. If we can believe it, the promise is to us. God wants us to take hold of his promises. And he wants us to latch a hold of them and say, this is mine. That's why he gave these promises. He wants us to take them into our lives. Lord, I will have strength because you're going to help me. And you know, when that faith is mixed with the word, when it's mixed in our heart and it begins to work, God begins to give strength. He wants to give us strength this morning. He doesn't want us to, in our feebleness, in our humanity, our weakness. He doesn't want us to say, well, I'm weak. That's the way the Lord wants me. No, he really wants us to be strong in the power of God. He wants to fill us with his grace. Was Samson a strong person? He was a weakling in life. But God worked in his life when he led him. God worked in Samson's life in mighty ways. I want to tell you, we can look at ourselves and say we're weak. But I want to encourage all of us, to the feeble, to the needy, to the weak, we can be strong. His power, his strength is made perfect in our weakness. That's when we have something more than ourselves. And God, I believe, wants to give that to us. Let our faith take hold and look at those promises. Lord, I can make it through. Lord, not only can I make it through, I can do your will. I can give myself unreservedly. unreservedly. I can consecrate my life to you without looking at the future and saying, well, if he doesn't call me to do such and such, I will consecrate as long as he doesn't call for this or that. We have to take our hands off, folks. That's where the power of God works. In our weakness, we tremble up. Yes, Lord. I don't know how I'll fight that battle. I'm sure Gideon looked at that great army and those 300 men and thought, I don't know. I know God's working here. I know he's been working, but I don't see how this is going to happen. 300? Then he goes down there with pitchers and with trumpets to beat this army. He was doing God's will. God worked greatly in his life. The Lord wants us to have some of those places in our life that we know, and we can tell all the generations following, I saw God work. I saw him beat the enemy, the opposition of my soul. I saw him win those victories in my weakness. I saw him when I could not. I saw him do it. I know the Lord spoke. I know he did. I know he worked. Folks, we need this for ourselves to take us through the times when the clouds are in and you can't see your way. The darkness is on the land. And we need these places in our lives. So when we're weak, it's our opportunity to get those places. Lord, I humble myself before you. I need your strength. I need your grace. I need your help this morning. Hebrews 12:12. It says, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Lift them up. Those hands that are hanging down and the feeble knees. The writer tells us to lift them up. Lift them up. What are feeble knees? The word feeble here in the New Testament, strengthless. More feeble, impotent, sick, without strength, weak, weaker, weakness. Weak thing. That's what this word says. And it says for us to lift up our hands that hang down. And the feeble knees. Those knees that shake and smite together for fear. For not knowing what's going to happen. For not having strength in them. Not having ability in them. The Lord wants us to lift up our hands. In faith to God. Take hold of the promises of God. How are we going to do it? By the promise of God. By believing the Lord's going to make me able. The Lord's going to make me able. I believe the promise of God. I'm going to take it to myself. It's His Word and His Word cannot be broken. I can make it through. I can lift up my hands. And it says here, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. But let it rather be healed. You know, the way we react, it can turn the lame out of the way. The way we react, the things that they see us do, if we're not careful, they'll lose faith too. God wants us to not be faithless, but believing. Trust in Him and let our feet make straight paths for them. Paths in the Word of the Lord, paths of faith, paths of belief. Paths of Lord, I want you to use my life. Young people, middle-aged, old folks, settle it in your hearts. Lord, I want you to use my life. I know the devil will say, don't say that if God wants to call you. I know because he's told me those things. He'll tell you that. But I want to tell you, cry all the louder, Lord, work in my life. Use my life. I only have a few years here. Don't let me go down to the grave and just have battled my own battles all the way. Lord, use my life for something. It don't have to be big. Just use it. I want to know it was useful. Let that cry be our cry. Let that cry be our cry at the expense of the things that we desire in life. And you know, when we do that, the blessing of the Lord comes upon it. Isn't that what He is looking for? A heart that's crying after God. Lord, teach me and lead me. And guide me. Make me to live in your way. In Joel 3:10 it says, let the weak say what? Let the weak say what? I am strong. How is that? By faith. by latching hold of the promises, by believing in God, in my weakness, God can carry me through. Let the weak say, I am strong. Have you ever done that in the face of an insurmountable something? And just said, I'm strong. I'm strong because God's going to help me. I don't know how He's going to help me, but He's going to help me. You know, this morning, the Lord help us each one. I was thinking about a few other scriptures. You know, they said of Jesus, they said, is not this Joseph's son? You know, the Lord could have had Jesus be born into a palace of gold and ivory. And He could have had His... Joseph could have been Caesar or one of the great kings. But the Lord didn't choose that, did He? He chose a situation that it looked... this don't seem right. It was a stumbling block to those that did not open their hearts to God. The Lord gave him something to stumble at. He did. He could have done it another way. But the Lord allowed those things. And you know, we see, of course, how God worked. He's not looking for our last name or our first name. He's not looking for a name. He's not looking for how strong we are. He's looking for somebody that will trust in the name of the Lord. We take His name. In Isaiah, it says something about that they'll call themselves by the name of the Lord. That He gives that little... I'm not sure where that... Yes, He says here, one shall say, I am the Lord's. And another shall call himself by the name of Jacob. Who was Jacob? One of God's people. The people of God. He'll call himself by the name of Jacob. And He says, and another shall subscribe with his hand unto the Lord, and surname himself by the name of Israel. You know, the Lord wants us to know, our name doesn't matter at all. What we have or what we don't have, it doesn't matter. But the Lord wants us to surname after the name of the Lord, after Israel. The Lord wants our name to be one that has power with God. Isn't that what Israel meant? Had power with God. The Lord wants us to be those kind of people. Oh, this morning, I just want to challenge us. I believe that the Lord wants us to rejoice. I think He wants to fill up our low places. And He wants to bring down our high places. He wants to fill our lives with His Spirit, with His presence. He wants to fill our homes with the Word of God. But it comes by us humbling ourselves, doesn't it? We take our way in our home when we get in deep trouble. We take the Lord's way and He melts those mountains before us, doesn't He? He gives us understanding when we need it, doesn't He? The Lord does that. The Lord of hosts is His name. We'll call upon His name, won't we? And I believe that we won't be ashamed when we do that. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. He didn't ride in a chariot. But here He come, lowly. He came to us, didn't He? He came for us. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which He hath promised to them that love Him? You know, this morning the Lord hath chosen those poor in spirit, those poor in their ways, in their life. The Lord has chosen those rich in faith. He wants us to believe the promises. And this morning I just want to encourage us. Take your hand up and look up to the promise and say, I am strong this morning. Pray for me.